This is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. Joining us now is Chris Smalls, terminated Amazon worker organizer, and Derek Palmer, protesting Amazon warehouse worker. Chris Smalls, the warehouse fulfillment center worker for Amazon, the third richest company in the world with a market cap that is nearing $1 trillion, was forced to organize a walkout at the 5,000-strong employees' warehouse when faced with the rising tide of COVID-19 there. Well, what do you think Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos did, whose personal worth is estimated at $123.9 billion, making him the richest man in the world? What did he do in response to the frightened and vulnerable workers' walkout, whose pay can range from a mere $11 to $19 an hour was? Well, Bezos and his top brass, actually with Amazon's general counsel, David Sapolsky, met to cook up a strategy to smear Chris Smalls, a leaked memo to Building Bridges revealed.
With classic racist and classist characterizations, they contrived to defame and denigrate Chris Smalls, the courageous worker fighting for the very lives of his fellow workers against COVID-19. Bezos fired Smalls, who was demanding a temporary shutdown of the huge warehouse facility after reports of multiple employees testing positive for COVID-19, and for protective gear and hazard pay as the associates worked through the pandemic, and for the pay in full paid sick leave all workers deserve.
Derek Palmer, how long have you worked at the Staten Island Amazon warehouse?
I've been with Amazon for 4.5 years. I've worked at the JFK 8 warehouse since the launch in October 2018. My job is to grab orders out of a pod, place them in a tote, put them on a conveyor belt so they can be packed and shipped out of the building.
How many people work in the warehouse?
About 4,500.
Pre-pandemic outbreak, what are the conditions like? What are your concerns, some of the issues that would have arisen under normal conditions?
It's always been a dirty facility. They really only clean when they know they have visitors, like big bosses coming in. Management doesn't really interact well with the associates. A lot of overtime. There's a lot of miscommunication that goes on. Associates
Well, explain don't like more when you say that they don't interact well with the associate.
For instance, an associate is performing very well. Sometimes the managers don't really acknowledge that. They'll just assume that the worker is going to keep working at the same pace, being that they're overworking. Sometimes they'll forget to say, hey, you know, you're doing a good job today. Keep up the good work. And I don't think that's right. If you're overperforming, then you should be acknowledged for that every time, every week. And also certain announcements, they're not clear. Like there's like an all hands meeting. That's like a meeting where they have all different departments. They'll come into the cafeteria and the general manager and like HR, they'll speak about any new announcements. Just basic stuff that they just don't really communicate well with, which I don't like. But the only thing that they really do communicate well with is like when we have overtime. They make sure we always get the mass texts and emails and stuff, or if it's voluntary, they'll make sure we know about that.
Derek, do you have any grievance procedure or any process for protesting any of these conditions or trying to better the working conditions?
I always talk to managers, and I just inform them, like, hey, it would be okay if you made these adjustments, like, because I talk to a lot of associates in here. Like, I'm very well known. So I train new associates. So, you know, everyone in the department knows me. Even other departments know me as well by face. Talk to them, and their feedback is always, oh, these managers, they don't speak to us. They'll walk past us. They won't say hi. They won't do anything. It's like they'll come to us when we made mistakes. When we have bad feedback, they'll make sure they deliver. But when I'm doing good, they don't say anything. So, yeah, I communicate that with managers all the time. And they say they're going to change, they're going to do this, that, and the third, but it never changes. It's always the same.
But it's not a formal process. It's you having courage and conviction to actually speak to them, right?
Yeah, out of my free will.
What other kind of safety and health violations would have affected the workers? And also give us an idea of what the salary range is.
The salary range, it's, I believe, $17 or $17.50. They might have raised it. So that's the starting pay. Well, I make $19.45 because I've been with the company so long. I actually maxed out. Like, I can't make any more unless I get promoted. But, yeah, as far as the conditions go, like, it's filthy. Like, tables are dirty. I'm talking about tables in the break room. The equipment, the totes, everything's just filthy. Like, they only clean it when they want to. Pallets are not stacked on top of each other. There's trash all over the floor everywhere. When the spills occur, no one cleans it up. They just let it sit there, dry up, get sticky everywhere. It's always been bad, like, safety-wise. The only time they clean it up is when they have visitors coming.
What were the conditions that the warehouse was in before the workers decided to, and what led up to the workers deciding to walk out?
Honestly, the conditions were always bad. They were never good in the first place, but people just kind of let it slide. But now, since the pandemic started, people were like, okay, we're noticing other jobs and other grocery stores, they're all doing the social distancing. Meanwhile, we're still on top of you, still in tight lines next to each other. We're in the cafeteria, all the tables are together, everyone's just bunched up. This is not acceptable.
Ken has just referenced that there was a strike. People walked off. How did people get together? What was the breaking point that said, hey, we can't talk to you guys, you're not responsive, we're leaving here for our safety? Talk about what actually happened, how the workers came together, and what brought them to that point of, we've got a strike right now.
What happened was basically...
I think we just got Chris.
Hey, how you doing? I'm here.
Hooray, hooray.
Okay.
Good, thank you.
Forever.
No, great. It's good to have you with us. Derek was about to answer, and then I think you can chirp in right after him what actually happened immediately preceding the walkout. So, Derek, sure. If you can pick up from there, and then Chris, just come right on in.
When we found out about the actual case that was being hidden from the associates, that day, I believe, was the 18th. That day, I was pallet picking. Chris came up to me and he told me, like, management informed him about the one coronavirus case, but they were, like, going around telling a few associates about it. They were also telling him, don't tell anyone, like, keep it a secret. Immediately, like, I'm scared. Because, like, prior to that, we were hearing about rumors about the coronavirus. But people were still cautious, but we just kept working. We don't know for sure. There's no way for us to find out. Yeah, so when we found that out, it was... we just came up with the game plan, like, look, we're going to go to the office. We're going to let it be known, like, you guys need to do something about this, and you guys need to inform associates. And time went by. They still didn't inform us. So that was just the breaking point. Like, ever since that day, everything changed with both of us, actually. Yeah.
Chris Smalls, you actually, along with Derek, certainly, and all the workers, played a pivotal role. So catch us up on the kind of work that you did there and what was the breaking point that caused you to work along with Derek, et cetera, to organize a walkout of the Amazon warehouse.
I had to take action. These are my people. I work with them 40, 50 hours a week. They're like extended family to me. We hang out outside of work. We go to bars together. I go to their house. They come to my house. Our kids play together. I couldn't sit home and do nothing while they're literally getting sick by the day and bringing this virus home to their families. Friday, when I was in the office with the general manager and the head of HR, I could tell that they were probing me to see what I was going to do. They kept asking me specific questions like, so what do you guys plan on doing? And I'm like, well, if you guys don't close the building down, yeah, we're going to do something. Like the Kentucky building, they protested allegedly, and the government shut the building down. So I said, hey, why can't we get closed down if Kentucky just got closed down? They were like, well, no, they technically didn't get closed down. The government just decided to do it. Kind of felt like they didn't want me to do the protest, but they wanted to prepare for it anyway because they felt that I was really going to do it, which I was. For some reason, they decided to print out the CDC guidelines and give it to me to read. It's a big package. And I'm like, I'm not about to sit here and read a package. So what I did, I skimmed through it. I noticed something at the bottom of it. It basically said, reduce your workforce by 75%. If somebody tested positive in your business, you don't have to close it down, but you could reduce your workforce. They started VTOing that same day. VTO is voluntary time off. Why in the critical time of our nation, we're essential business, you guys decide to start sending people home voluntarily? They were trying to, you know, cover themselves up just in case the health department came. They would be meeting those requirements within those guidelines. They started sending people home voluntarily. And then I have a conversation with the ops manager in black and white, and the ops manager telling our supervisors, to lie to their associates pretty much. Don't tell them that there's no work. Tell them that Amazon doesn't have any trucks right now. It was a big lie. Everything was just lies. And I'm like, yo, this is crazy. So I knew what they were doing. They're going to reduce the workforce, try to have as less people as possible in the building just in case the health department get called on them. They figured out that I was going to have a protest because there was rumors about my protest formulated. But I had a strategic plan from that. I was already two steps ahead of them. I knew I had to get in contact with the media, like, right away. I tried everything in my power. Me and Derek went back to my house. We pretty much made phone calls, tried to get a bite from the media, and we got no response. Not only the media, but we called the health department, the CDC. We did everything in our power. We got no response. I was like, you know, if we keep trying the media, maybe you'll get a bite. And I did. The New York Post published my statement about formulating a walkout. Everything changed. Now all the media outlets that I couldn't get in contact with, now they're like blowing my phone up. Oh my gosh, you're planning a walkout? I'm like, yeah. So how many people? Maybe 100, maybe 200. And it worked. I basically brought the world to the building. Everybody was watching. I didn't have no clue who was going to walk out that building. But it looked like a successful walkout to the world. That's what I needed, the voice and the platform right there, and utilize that to my advantage, because I knew they were going to counteract my protest, and they still downplay it, but nobody's going to believe that, because the pictures and the videos prove otherwise. The eyeball test prove otherwise. It was way more people outside than they're trying to say it is.
Chris, one of the things is, didn't any time ever any of the bosses there give any consideration to the fact that, wait a minute, the whole nation is being told to social distance, people are indeed getting ill, and it's like, hey guys, can't you take any kind of precautions or exhibit any concerns? So what was their concern? Was it zero?
There's no excuse of why they're putting a price on a human life right now, other than greed, because that's the only thing I can say that makes sense right now. There's a building with multiple cases in every state right now, pretty much. And you keeping these people at work, when you got billions of dollars, you can't keep these people home and paid and safe. There's no reason why Amazon should be up right now. We're not selling essential items. We're still packing out cosmetics. Yeah. We're still packing out regular stuff. We're not really packing out. So you're putting a price on the human life just so you continue having your billions roll into your account. And this building in particular, it's the largest building in the tri-state. It makes millions of dollars a day. So that is the real reason behind it. It's greed. There's so many cases in that building right now as we speak. There's double digits. But other buildings got closed down for one. We got double digits in that building right now as we speak, and probably more. I got friends that's sleeping in a car as we speak, unpaid, sleeping in their car because they sick, scared to go in their house with their kids right now. This is what the world needs to know. This company is really going to end the world if we don't stop them. 500,000 people employed in America alone, 800,000 worldwide. God forbid that we all carry this, and this virus spreads to 2.5 people. That's millions of people getting sick. Millions. That's what the world needs to think about. This is humanity that we're talking about. If we don't stop the Amazon network, you're going to have millions of people carrying this virus. We don't need Amazon right now. What Amazon can do is shut down their network until the curve of the virus flattened.
And Derek, do you also agree with Chris on this, that your position and why you also played a fundamental role in organizing the walkout?
Definitely. At the end of the day, you're playing with people's lives. Even if you're strong enough to fight off the virus, you can still pass it on to a family member. And the thought of that, it's extremely scary. That's the reason why I don't visit any of my family members. It's just me and my girlfriend. That's it. I haven't seen my father, my mother, my aunts, no one. Because I don't know if I'm possibly a carrier. Like, I've been exposed to people with confirmed cases and people that, you know, that they're saying is that they're giving quarantine pay to. And they're not even to quarantine me. So how am I going to put my family members' lives at stake just by going around them and being in their presence? So, yeah, ultimately, that's the reason why. Like, it's outrageous. And I still don't understand why this building isn't closed now. Like, I feel like they need to just shut it down now. I'm just getting real impatient with this whole waiting process. You know, I'm still going to keep the faith alive, of course, but this building needs to shut down now. Like, they need to take action now.
And we're talking about 5,000 associates, really, that work there. And for your efforts, Chris, Derek. Chris, you were actually, as we started this piece by saying, you were canned in a phone call following Monday afternoon strike. Talk about that and what management said to you.
Also, Chris, if you could enunciate the demands that you made on the company during the strike. What were they, and to what extent did Amazon react to that?
Well, I'll go with the demands first. We demanded the bill, all we wanted. All of this would have been avoided, really, which I'm glad it didn't now. But all we really wanted was the building to be closed down and sanitized, just like the building in Queens, New York. That's all we wanted. Closed down, sanitized, we go back to work. Right, in Kentucky as well.
Mm-hmm.
Closed down, sanitized, we go back to work. That's all we wanted. And to get paid. That's all we wanted. Simple fix. A simple, not a fix, but some type of comfort. They wasn't even willing to do that. And that was the first demand. But then I thought about it. All these people that's forced to stay home unpaid for the entire month of March, and now they just extended it. How long y'all going to keep extending the unlimited UPT? For another 3 months? So people are just supposed to stay home right now with no income because they're scared to go to work, or go to work, get the coronavirus. That's not much of a choice to me. So the demand is to pay everybody that's unpaid right now, the back pay, including myself. Back pay all of us, because we shouldn't have to be forced. I had to take money out of my 401k, deplete my whole 401k, just so I could stay home and be safe. I haven't seen my kids in 2 months as well. So they don't care about us, and that's crazy. They don't care about people. And you guys know, everybody know what leaked out yesterday. I don't know if y'all do, but that tells you right there who we working for. That tells you right there in black and white, who are we really working for? What Jeff Bezos is really about. He was in that room. That's a whole nother thing. But going back to
what do you mean it's a whole nother thing? Why don't you talk about that?
Well, y'all got my statement that's out to the public. I'm not going to get into it with, you know, a one-on-one because it's not about me. It never will be. They're trying to make it about me. They want to attack me and stop me. We already knew that from the beginning. They terminated me. We did what they wanted us to do the entire week. So that tells you right there what they're doing is this is fabricated, is lies. You cannot believe a word these people are saying to the press. They always try to, you know, spin it, to flip it. But guess what? They messed with the wrong person this time. I know what I did. And the truth is going to come out. I'm pursuing legal actions, and y'all just got to stay tuned. It's going to be very deep, and it's going to be very scary because it's something I can't even explain is going on behind these walls. I don't understand it besides greed. Yes.
You said legal action also. I know that Letitia James, the state attorney general, had commented, certainly in the media, on this travesty. Is there any additional assistance, whether it's from Letitia James and the state attorney general or other institutions, to support you? Also, I know that AOC had also commented on this travesty. And Alexandria Cortez, are they also formally in your corner? And if so, what are they doing to make sure that there are amends for you particular? And frankly, to place demands still on the Amazon warehouse and shut it down and make sure that the workers continue to get paid during this period for a company that is one of the wealthiest in the world, if not the wealthiest.
Right. Yeah, they've all been supportive. I even heard, you know, Bernie Sanders tweeted out yesterday, so Bernie Sanders as well. I think actually I have a call with one of his representatives later on today, if I'm not mistaken. So Bernie Sanders, that's the power I need to get my message out there. So I'm glad that they all supported. Formally, I have my own lawyer, and I'm working with the Attorney State General's office as well, because it's going to be a team of lawyers. This is a very high-profile case all of a sudden. You know, it's going to be complicated. But I have a team of lawyers that's going to be supporting That's all I can say about that on the legal aspect. But what else was you asking? I'm sorry. It's a lot.
Well, you politically, what happens from here? I mean, you are courageous. You are undaunted. This is a matter of life and death, both for you, mm-hmm. for Derek, for all those people that you worked with. We're talking about roughly 5,000 people. So are there other plans to continue to mobilize the workers
yes.
and to push ahead yes. for them to be treated with the human rights that they absolutely
right.
deserve and the workers' rights that they should get?
So, yeah, other organizations, you know, everybody's tying me into an organizer for the union. I'm just saying that I'm not affiliated with any union. Because my plan looked like it was a union job, everybody's trying to tie me into being a union organizer. I understand that, but I'm not a part of any union. But I do support the unions that support me. So they're all trying to support me.
Which
now.
Which unions have supported you?
To Make the Road to New York is the one that supported me the most. And I'm actually working with them as we speak. So that was the first union that actually, you know, support and jumped on board, like, right away. And I really like what they're doing. They're real eager to help. And I like the people. So I'm not saying that I'm contractually binded with them. But at the same time, I feel like we all got one common goal right now. And that's to save lives and save the workers' lives that's on the front lines. So all these organizations are coming to me now. As you mentioned, all of those, I have town hall meeting tonight with some of them. And, my message to them is going to be, like, I need your support, and I will support your movement as well. And we all have one common goal right now, is to save our workers that are unprotected. That's the common goal. Then, sure, I will support the unions, and I will help them organize whatever they want to organize as well. As far as my own plan going forward, you know, I definitely want to create an organization possibly in the near future or in the future when everything settles down. I'm definitely going to try to organize a union that take care of workers like ourselves. So this never happens again. That's the ultimate goal. We can never do this again to people. This is insanity and it's inhumane. We have a huge problem here with these CEOs with billions of dollars. We're going to take the power back. We're going to take the power back. And then we're going to use the power in a way that's positive. And that's what I plan on doing. As far as my lawsuit that's going to be formulating, I'm going to make sure that it takes care of people as well. It's not going to be just for me to get a large lump sum of money and just go away. I'm going to use the money for everybody, use whatever incentive for everybody. That's what I plan on doing. This is not about Chris Smalls.
And Derek Palmer, what do you think about all of this? What's your message to the public now in support of Chris Smalls, in support of yourself and all of those thousands of workers who are still at risk in the Amazon Staten Island plant and the other Amazon warehouses where they are working without any consideration from their multi-billionaire employer?
Well, my message to all the facilities, to every worker that's still working, come together. Please, just come together. Like, that will make this process so much easier. Because at the end of the day, Jeff Bezos or any one of those guys that's in the office, they're nothing without us. And we're going to get the appreciation we deserve. But you guys got to also appreciate yourself. You got to know your self-worth. Because at the end of the day, none of these packages get out to the customers without us. They're not going to do it if we walk off. If we walk off and stand strong together, there's nothing they can do with us. We don't have to wait for the governor to step in. They're going to have to shut it down because nothing is getting out. And also, your health. Like, you can possibly give this virus to your kids, to your grandmothers. So that needs to be taken into consideration, that you have to take this serious. This isn't this is nothing to play around with. This is literally a pandemic. We haven't seen anything like this in so long. I've never seen anything like this. I'm 31. I've never seen a pandemic. I don't know what this is. They need to really wake up. Don't worry about the extra $2 that you're going to get that's getting taxed. It's not worth your life. It's not worth your family's life either. And that's my message.
And Chris, I wonder if you have been in contact with the people in the Queens warehouse, where I know that they shut down one of the night shifts, and also in Detroit suburbs they went out, or they came going out. Are you in contact with people around the country?
I'm in contact with people around the world right now. I just got off the phone with London, Tokyo, Brazil, Canada. Everybody in the world is contacting me right now. This is what it's about, solidarity. If I can unite the world, get my message to the world, so be it. For some reason, the world fell in my hands Monday. Now I have to take this power and do some good. I'm trying the best to get this message out there to everybody. You got to take this serious, because the Amazon network will be the end of society if we do not end it. And that's what everybody needs to be afraid of. We don't need them right now. 15 years ago, y'all was going to the grocery stores before Amazon. So this is the message. Y'all need to revert back to the old society.
And it's the workers. You were talking a moment ago, is the final message, the power of the workers. They do the work. They create the wealth. They must be protected. Is that the message also that's being sent out loud and clear?
The workers are the power. We are the power. Take the power back. You know, everybody that's been reaching out to me, they showing me videos, sending me pictures of how their buildings are. I know what their buildings are like. I've been there 5 years. I know exactly what they're like. You know what you need to do? I tell them to walk out. Simple. They're like, what should we do? Walk out. Because without you, these billions of dollars that they're getting every day stops. And everybody else that's supporting, stop clicking the button. Stop clicking the button on Amazon. You're saving lives. This already happened. People are canceling them left and right good. Let them feel it. Because that's what's really making them mad right now. Why are they attacking me? Because I'm getting their money depleted right now. That's why they're attacking me. That's what it's real about. It's greed. You want to take all these money from these people that's sick and everybody? Come on. Think about it. Thank you guys for, you know, making me $1 trillion and forget about y'all. So people got to wake up. We going to allow this man to do that. No way.
Well,
no way.
Chris,
no way.
Chris Smalls, your courage, your selflessness. Derek Palmer, yours as well. Yeah, let's recapture the power of the workers. They are the ones who create all the wealth, and for keep doing that organizing so that we don't become the cannon fodder for the building of wealth of these oligarchs. I want to thank you so much for being with us. Continue to keep in touch. You have allies and supporters here, and we will do whatever we can to back you up.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And continue to support us.
Thank you for all you do.
Yeah.
Chris Smalls, terminated Amazon worker, organizer, and Derek Palmer, protesting Amazon warehouse worker. Thank you for fighting for what all workers deserve.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.